Can help to turn on the lights a little dark. Yeah, thanks. Okay, today we are continuing on the sermon series on law. Last week we talked about the first four commandments. Today we are going to look at the fifth to the tenth commandment. Let me read to you Exodus chapter 20, verse 12 to 17. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12 to 17, the fifth to the tenth commandment. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land that the Lord is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male or female servant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we pray for your spirit to be with us so that, Lord, our hearts may be a good soil as your gospel is planted in us. Lord, we pray that, Lord, we may obey your word, that the seed of the gospel may grow in us and may bear fruits in our lives so that all may see indeed how beautiful your word is. And all this we ask in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Peace be with you, brothers and sisters. And so today's sermon, I'll be dividing it into two halves. All right, so there are two parts to the sermon today. In the first half, I will share a basic understanding of each of the commandments. So we'll go slowly, 5, 6, 7, 8, all the way until the 10th commandment. And I'll be using, for the basic understanding, I'll be using the Genevan Catechism by John Calvin. So it's just an easy way for us to run through all the commandments. Very simple, even children can understand. Catechism is written for children. And then after each commandment, I will also add in some of my reflections based on our current context. All right. So each commandment will have a basic understanding, then modern application, basic understanding, then modern application. That's on the first half. All right. And then the second half, we will be looking at all these fifth to tenth commandment holistically. All right, so we will look at it together using the principle of loving your neighbor as yourself. So this summation is both Jesus and Paul sum up these laws in this way. So there will be two halves. First, we will look at the laws individually. Then we will look at them as a whole. So let's begin with the fifth commandment, which is to honor your father and mother. Now, what does it mean to honor? According to Calvin, this honoring is not just obedience, all right? It's more about showing respect, being humble, and the willingness to care and help your parents, especially, I guess, in their old age. Calvin teaches that this commandment to honor our parents is not just for our parents alone, but also referring to honoring those in positions of authority. So it could refer also to, for example, your teachers, your leaders, or maybe even your superiors at work. So this is about honoring those who are above you. As we know, when we covered the topic of authority, God has placed all these people in these roles, and by honoring them, it's not about them, actually, but by honoring them, we honor God himself. Now, however, we must also put Calvin's teaching in our context today. We know that nowadays we are more and more mindful about mental health. And this awareness has allowed us to see that actually many children perhaps grow up in a toxic family environment. And therefore, it's important for us to understand that honoring parents, it does not necessarily mean blind obedience. Or you cannot say, commandment say fifth, or commandment say you must obey, therefore everything you must listen. It does not necessarily mean that. But it could also mean, therefore, honoring your parents means setting healthy boundaries with them. That is also a form of honoring. And I think that is important as we think about this commandment in today's context. Another matter that we need to think about is that during COVID-19, it helped us really appreciate how many of the those who are elderly had trouble adjusting to the fast technologies that in today's pace. So you can see many elderly people, they have to do everything online on their phone, apps, blah, blah, blah. And it was very challenging to them. So one way in which we honor parents, honor those who are older, is that we show compassion to them, when they struggle with the fast pace of the change of society. I know that Calvin says that, honoring your parents, and this commandment should also be extended to those in authority. But we now live in an era, it's very common for us, to question institution, question political leadership. It just goes to go to any Reddit or forums, and you can see many people, criticizing the government and so on. So I think that this commandment is a very timely reminder that, yes, on one hand, we want those in authority to be accountable. But on the other hand, this commandment teaches us that we should also balance this need for accountability with also a need for proper respect for those of us who are under such government. So I think this commandment reminds us of the importance of balance. So this is on the fifth commandment. Let's look at the next commandment. And the next commandment, thou shalt not murder or thou shalt not kill. Now, on the surface, this is a very straightforward lah. So maybe we might think that all of us has fulfilled this already. I'm not killing anybody. But God's commandment, as Jesus expressed, is not just about outward actions. It's also about our hearts. As Calvin reminds us, this commandment also includes things like hatred, anger, or even any desire for people to come to harm. I wish, he'll fall down the stairs or don't know what. All these matters as well. So this commandment is really telling us that we should love our neighbors, seek their good, and not just, avoiding physical harm alone. That's not enough. So if we want to, Calvin reminds us that if we truly want to obey this commandment, we must remove anger, resentment, and bitterness in our heart and replace them with love and kindness. Now, coming to the digital age that we live in now, that we know there's increasing online bullying, cancel culture, political polarization. We like to think of the other camp as the enemy. While few people commit literal murders, but now we know that words and actions online can so-called kill people, right? We can kill their reputation, kill their peace of mind, kill their mental wellness, and so on. In this day and age, we have to be mindful of things like hate speech, doxing, online harassments. We know of people who suffer from all this. These are also forms of modern, what we call murder, right? Things, harmful actions, words, texts, that has long-lasting effects, and sometimes, sadly, even deadly effects, especially to the youths and to the young adults. This commandment tells us that we should, therefore, even online, pursue reconciliation and avoid this tendency to dehumanize those that we disagree with online. Sometimes we don't see the person, sometimes because we are anonymous, we don't see that actually the other person online is also a person. Besides online violence, I'm not sure if you read the news often. There seems to be a rise in terms of school violence. So videos will surface of, kids who are being beaten up by other classmates and things and so on. I think it's important that lately I read in some cases that the schools also take actions against bystanders. And I think that is important. An important reminder that on the matter of school bullying, for example, everybody plays a part to stop such violence, and not just the person committing the violence, but also those who are bystanders. We also play a role to help in this. So this is on the sixth commandment. Let's look at the seventh one. The second commandment is, you shall not commit adultery. And maybe for some of, every time I talk about this topic, maybe in your mind is, but this seems like it's not about me, and and it will never happen to me. Maybe we have such mindset. But as I was writing this, just last week, I was informed of this case where one of the school vice principal had an affair with one of the school parents. And to me, it's like, I know the guy, the vice principal. And you might think, how can such a thing happen? And indeed, even though I don't know him very well, I happen to know his pastor very well. So this guy goes to church regularly, you know, and then the pastor say, oh, I cannot imagine, you know, this kind of thing, he committing this kind of thing. So you can never know what is happening to a person, what is happening to a marriage. And this, I think, is a very important mindset that we should have, that, you know, what this commandment is about is a reminder that we should live a life of purity. It goes beyond just, you know, sinful actions. It's about purity in our thoughts, purity in our words, even purity in our desires. Our bodies and souls are temples of the Holy Spirit. So this is a important renewing of mind that I hope we can have. Our body don't just belong to ourselves. Our body don't just belong to our spouse. But more importantly, our body belongs to the Lord. Our bodies and souls are temples of the Holy Spirit. And so we must guard our hearts against anything that leads to impurity. We are called to live a way that reflects the holiness of God. Come on, how we use our body matters not just to ourselves, matters not just to our spouse, but also to God. Not only in our actions, but even in our thoughts as well. How do we think about things? How do we look at other people? That matters. I must say that in the last few years, there's this proliferation of, dating apps, social media, you know, texting, and sometimes it becomes sexting. All this leads to new challenges to this commandment because, you know, you never know what a person is, you know, writing or texting to another person. Adultery refers not just to physical acts, so this is important, but also secretive, emotional connection, suggestive text messages, you know, flirting, or any inappropriate exchanges on social media. Some people, you know, they like to friend or pretty girls, then, you know, and say whatever lah, things like that. I think this is an important reminder that this is one thing you should be OCD in, you know. Make sure that, no, I'm not exposing myself to all this. Furthermore, pornography is an increasingly accessible. I don't think there's any way to block it out totally. And so, and it's an important reminder that, you know, what you see in porn is not, it's acting, you know, it's not real. And it damages personal relationships and mental health. And I must say that I'm also quite troubled lah, that increasingly I will read online news about people taking upskirt videos, hidden cameras in showers, and things like that. God's call to purity, I think, is important for us to challenge us to cultivate a healthy and respectful relationship, respectful views on sexuality, relationships, and our marriage commitments. So this is on the seventh commandment. Let's look at the next one. The eighth commandment, which is on thou shalt not steal. Again, this commandment is not just about actual stealing or theft alone. It actually is about all kinds of dishonesty, in whether it is cheating or even things that you get through, unjust gains. Maybe you, anything that is... That you take that you don't deserve. That also is a form of stealing. So Calvin reminds us that to be contented, this commandment is really about being contented with what we have and to ensure that we are protecting and preserving the properties and well-beings of others. Now, stealing in the digital age, what does it mean? It includes things like data breaches, identity theft, hacking, and intellectual property theft. And I'm sure many of us have fallen prey to scammers. In a recent report, it says scammers is not, you know, they don't just target the old people. A lot of young people also fall into scams. And that's an important reminder. So be mindful of what you download. And I think this is a good reminder to say, hey, stealing also refers to what? Also refers to small acts, for example, pirating content, all right? So illegal downloads, that is also a form of stealing. Evading taxes, some people say, hey, let's do this, then we don't have to pay GST or don't know what. All this also stealing. And cutting corners at work. So if you are lazy at work, hey, that's also a form of stealing because you're stealing from the company and so on. Many of us think that, hey, all this thing, it's so small, you know. It doesn't hurt anybody, so never mind, right? So remember the case of what? Who? Iswaran, right? So as I was saying this at the Chinese service, I say, what is he doing? Okay, I say, I call him Tan Xiao Pian Yi, you know, because you just want to, this little freebie, free tickets, don't know what. Tan Xiao Pian Yi. Then one church member reminded me, hey, Musi, that's not Tan Xiao Pian Yi, that's Tan Da Pian Yi. Because the tickets are very expensive, okay. Okay. But I think to him it's Tan Xiao Pian Yi, because, you know, that's probably peanuts to him. But, think about it. What are you doing when you have such mindset? This thing, I take a little bit of my mind and so on. What happens when you have this mindset? What you're compromising, Calvin reminds us, is you're compromising your integrity. And actually, integrity is the most precious thing that you have. And the moment it crumbles, you lose it. When there are holes in your integrity, that's where people cannot trust you anymore. So, this commandment is that we must maintain our integrity even in tough times. We respect the property, creativity, and resources of others. That's what matters. And so for transparency's sake, I should tell you that actually I use ChatGPT to prepare my sermon today. Because a lot of the ChatGPT, the English translation is old English. So I say, ChatGPT, can you help me write this in language that youths can understand. But I got ChatGPT version permission to say this. I say, ChatGPT, thank you. Wow, you contributed a lot. Then ChatGPT say, no. It's your own writing. It's your own creativity. I say, okay, then never mind. Then I can say. Okay. So anyway, I just want to see. I think this form of transparency, honesty is important. So that's on that. Let's look at the next commandment. The next commandment is, thou shalt not bear false witnesses. And I don't think I need to further state the importance of this. Do you know recently what is the most recent case about these false witnesses? Ring a bell? The case on Pritam Singh, right? Okay. And that case, whether he truly committed it or not, that's in the courts right now. But it's based on another actual case of false witness. Well, what is that? Raisa Khan, right? So that one is very clear. So therefore, you can see the strong how relevant such a commandment is. But for Calvin, this is not just about, you know, the official acts, the lying in courts. It's also our entire approach towards truth and honesty. So things like slander, gossip, false accusations, these are also sins that are related to this commandment. They damage not only who we speak about, but more importantly, it damages our own integrity. When we cannot speak the truth and nothing but the truth, it don't just damage the other person, it damages we ourselves. And God wants us to build up others with our words, how we use our, it matters how we think about how we use our words. It's for building people, not for tearing people down. And even, not just our words, but even our thoughts as well, how we think about people, when we have prejudice against people, when we misjudge people, when we assume the worst about another person, Calvin said that is also a form of false testimony in your mind. We are called to esteem others better than ourselves. Paul reminds us that we should also always think of others as better than ourselves. So in our thoughts even, we need to protect the reputations of others. Not just what we say, but also how we think about other people. Now I think that in today's age with lots of fake news, you know, floating around, I think this commandment is more important than ever. There are two forms, two keywords. One, we call disinformation, right? Disinformation means that you purposely write falsehood, fake news about other people. So we call that disinformation. But we also have what we call misinformation. Misinformation means that you pass on untruth, whether you have this intention or not. So disinformation means that you intend to cheat. Misinformation means maybe you have the intention, maybe you don't have. Now, most of us, we are less guilty of disinformation. Nah, that means we don't really, you know, purposely write false things to defame people. We don't do that. But we sometimes unwittingly spread misinformation. And that makes us an accomplice, okay? When we share things that is unverified, when we share things that are not true, that makes us an accomplice to giving false testimony. So bearing false witnesses today includes sharing unverified information, misrepresenting the facts, or participating in slander and defamation online. Therefore, let's be reminded that whether it's gossiping about a friend, gossiping about a colleague in the workplace, this is also part of this commandment. We must be careful that whatever when we say, a yes must be a yes, a no must be a no. We must always be careful to speak truthfully and constructively. Now, let's look at the last commandment. The last commandment is, you shall not covet. Now, this commandment addresses very clearly the desires of our heart. It's not just actions alone, but what goes on in our mind. How do we think about people around us? We must guard this. Calvin says that this commandment is about guarding against envy, guarding against the temptation to desire what belongs to others. And even if this desire doesn't lead to outward actions, it can still take root in our heart. So why does God want to give this commandment? God wants our hearts to be pure, to be contented, and to learn to appreciate what we have. This is what this commandment is about. Now I must say that in this day and age where we are exposed to so much social media, you know, whether it's Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and so on, all these social media is the curated lives of others, right? Obviously, you only take pictures when the food looks good, right? You only take pictures when you go on vacation and the scenery looks nice, right? You don't take picture of food that is not nice, you don't take pictures of this is my room, this is my bedroom. I mean, you don't take pictures of boring things, right? You only take pictures or share things that looks good to you or you want to keep as a fond memory. But what you must realize that all this is just the curated lives of yourself, the curated lives of others. And so, because of all this so-called sharing, okay, and liking, okay, coveting is rampant because we, after all this, we start to compare our lives with the filtered lives of others. This commandment, therefore, is a reminder to us that, hey, what we need to do is really practice gratitude, practice contentment, and practice, appreciation of our current lives. Rather than always constantly seeking what others have, we must appreciate what God has already given to us, that everything we have now is by the grace of God. It also warns us again this consumeristic mindset. Oh, wow, someone has the latest iPhone, someone has the most trendy sport shoes or whatever, sneakers, latest gadget, latest car. It helps to guard us against all this consumeristic mindset. Okay, so this is a quick run-through of all the commandments and what they mean in today's context. What I'm going to do now is the second half of the sermon, all right? And that is we will now try to look at all these commandments as a whole. And the way to look at all of them as a whole is to look at Romans chapter 13. This is how Paul summarized them. In Romans chapter, next slide. In Romans chapter 13, verse 8, let no debt be outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. Let me just explain this verse first, okay? What does it mean to say let no debt be remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another? Okay, what this means is this, we shouldn't owe debts. That's what Paul is saying, all right? So if you owe anybody anything, what should you do? You should pay, all right? So you shouldn't have any debts. Let no debts be outstanding. But he say accept the debt to love one another. What does it mean? It means that there will always be this debt, all right? We always owe it to one another to what? To love, okay? There is no such thing as you don't owe anybody anything. Not possible. Because Paul say what? We owe it to love everybody. Every single person, you owe it to them to what? To love them. This debt will always be outstanding. Alright? There's all other debts you should pay back, but this debt will always be there. You should always love everybody. That's what it means. Alright? The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and whatever other commands there are be, are summed up in one command. So all the fifth to the tenth commandment is summed up into one command. What is the command? To love your neighbors as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. So what does it mean to love your neighbors as yourself? Again, I use ChatGPT to summarize some words from John Calvin. This is, I'm using John Calvin more and more because I find he's quite insightful about the human psyche. This is what Calvin says. Calvin says that when the Bible teaches us to put others before ourselves, to help them, okay, everybody knows this command, okay, to love your neighbors as yourself. Everybody knows this. The Bible tells us to do that. He says, what does Calvin say? Calvin says that that is asking us to do something that is really difficult because it goes against our natural feelings. All right? So for all of us, we love ourselves. We are very understanding. We are very forgiving of ourselves. All right? But we seldom do that to other people. And what does Calvin say? Calvin says this is pride. There is pride in each and every one of us when we treat ourselves the best and we don't treat other people equally. We have double standards. That's what Calvin is saying. We have one standard for ourselves on how we treat ourselves, and we use a different standard to treat other people. And he says, and Calvin says, this is pride. All of us has pride. And pride is what destroys relationship. Pride is what causes divisions between people. And this is why Paul tells us and God give us this command to love our neighbors as ourselves. Because this command basically is telling us that we need to let go of this self-centered mindset. Okay? Why is God giving all these laws to us? Of course, one is to love God, but you have the fifth all the way to the tenth commandment. What is that about? Basically, it's God telling us that we need to let go of our self-centered mindset. Because the moment you need to show love means that you need to stop thinking about yourself. Stop thinking about yourself all the time and learn to think about other people. What do you owe it to everyone around you? Scripture tells us that everything we have is meant to be shared. A lot of times the problem lies with, oh, this belongs to me. This is my own intellect. This is my own hard work, the fruits of my own hard work. This belongs to me. This is why I'm so successful. This is what I have. This is my own background. This is my, everything is my. But scripture tells us that everything we have is from God. And everything we have is meant to be shared to serve others. Our gifts are not for our own personal gain. They are given to us so that we can help others and to build up the community. And the analogy that Calvin uses is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the parts of the body. Paul compares us to the different parts of a body, each with their own function. The gifts that we have is for the benefit of others. You may be an ear, you may be an eye, you may be, you know, the nose, you may be a mouth. Each one of us are gifted differently, okay? And that's good, because each part of the body is needed to serve the entire whole. Now, I understand that sometimes, you know, the church keep telling you, love your neighbors, and so on. We can get quite tired of this, lah. Because sometimes you look at some people, you tell me to love, but this person is so unlovable. We feel that they don't deserve it. And maybe this person is someone who has wronged you before. How can you ask me to love this person when this person treat me this way? You might think like that. But what does the Bible say? The Bible says that we should love everyone, no matter who they are. And Calvin reminds us that the reason why we love others is not because they deserve our help, but more importantly, simply the fact that they are made in the image of God. And I think this struck me very strongly, what Calvin is saying. Calvin is saying that when God tells you, oh, love this person, love that person, and so on. Okay? Many times our mind is this person lovable? Is that person lovable? And so on, right? We only love those who are lovable. That's our usual mindset. But today, let's renew our mind. What does the Bible say? The Bible says that you should only ask one question. The question is this person made in the image of God? That is the only question you need to ask. Is this person made in the image of God? And if this person is made in the image of God, you must love the person. That is why we love. We love others simply because they are made in the image of God. Of course, you might say, Pastor, I look at this person now. I cannot see how this person can be made in the image of God. Cannot like that, okay? As long as the person is a person, means that person is made in the image of God. That alone, it means that they are worthy of love and kindness. You cannot see how he's made in the image of God because you are looking at your own self, okay? Maybe you're a nose, and you cannot see how the eye or the ear or the mouth is made in the image of God, because this person is so different from you. But hey, everybody has a role to play. Everybody contributes to the family. It's good that people are different from you, because all these differences can contribute towards the building up of the body. And I know it's not easy sometimes telling you to love your neighbor, but this person has treated you badly. How to love? The Bible says we are called to forgive and show kindness. We are not supposed to focus on all the bad things that people have done, but to remember that they too carry God's image. Remember when I was sharing about Psalm 25? I say what? What is compassionate remembering? What is compassionate remembering? Forgiveness, right? So we remember what is good about others. Being compassionate means we don't just remember what is, you know, we always don't just focus always on what is bad about them. And the first thing you need to know is this so-and-so is also made in the image of God. And then we forgive. Then we show kindness. Jesus tells us to love our enemies and to return good for evil. So in short, let me sum up what Calvin is saying in three key concepts. All right, let's renew our mind. The first thing is connectedness. We are all interconnected with one another. Okay? And this mindset, loving your neighbor, helps to break this self-centeredness that we always have. We always want to treat ourselves better. We always have this double standard. And what what God is doing when he gave us this law to love your neighbor is to basically transform us, telling us, hey, each one of us are interconnected. This love is not, you know, there's no such thing as there's anybody that you shouldn't love or you cannot love. There's no such thing. Every single one of us are connected because we are part of the body. We are all part of God's family. Every single part deserves honor. Every single part deserves care. And I think that when we realize this, when we realize that every one of us, we are connected, that helps us to fulfill, for example, the fifth commandment, which is to obey your parents and obey those above you. The seventh commandment, which is to respect the relationships that everybody has. Respecting your own relationship, respecting the relationship of others. It helps us fulfill the ninth commandment, which is about lying. We owe it to everyone to tell the truth and only the truth. So this is the first mindset. We are all interconnected. The second mindset is humility over pride. Why are we proud? Why do we have double standards? Because we think that, you know, our gifts, our abilities, our achievements, all this belong to us, ma. That's what makes us proud. And then when we look at other people's gifts, we look at other people's achievements, we are very dismissive, one, you know. Wow, so what? You think, why he's so rich? Oh, because his parents give it to him. He's lucky, ma. He's lucky in life. That's why he's like that. And so on. You think he or she's so pretty, man? No. Whatever it is. So we think like that. This is the double standard, lah. We think everything we have belongs to us. We think other people have, they don't deserve those things. It shouldn't belong to them, and so on and so forth. So what is humility? Humility means that we recognize that the gifts that we have, all this is what? Everything that we have is by the grace of God, ma. And therefore, these gifts are meant to serve everybody. Okay? If I'm strong in this, I'm good in that, this is a gift that God is telling me, hey, use these gifts to serve. And if A or B or C have those gifts, great for them. They must use those A, B, C, D, E gifts to serve, whether it's their looks, whether it's their smart intellect, whether it's their riches, whether it's their luck in life even. There is God's grace for them to use them to serve. Then you might say to me, hey, but Pastor, this person, he used all his so-called gifts to benefit himself and he never served the community at all. But that's his own accountability to God, ma. That's not for you to judge, right? So that's what matters. Only God can judge. So this principle therefore help us to rethink the eighth commandment about stealing. Why do you need to steal? Your gifts is God's grace for you to serve. Another person's is God's grace for him to serve. There's no need to compare. This also guards against the tenth commandment about coveting. There's no need to compare with one another because each of us receives gifts to serve and receive gifts to be accountable to God. The last concept that we need to have is compassion. And we need to realize that grace and forgiveness is meant for everyone. Now, I say this because many times this double standard is very dangerous, especially on the matter of forgiveness. Let me see if I can transform our mindset on this. Many times when we do things, we are very forgiving of ourselves. Chinese, we say, 情有可原. Why? I do this. We are very understanding of our own circumstances. So we say, I do this, but 情有可原. Because, you know, because of my situation and so on, that's why I do this, ma. It deserves forgiveness. We will think like that. But when we look at other people's situation, we will say, no, this thing cannot. Why? No such thing as 情有可原 for other people. We have this mindset. So we are very, we like grace, we like grace for ourselves, but we don't like grace for other people. What loving your neighbors as yourself is telling us, hey, yes, you need grace. Do we deserve this grace? No, none of us are deserving of the grace, but it's purely by God's grace that we can be forgiven. Purely by God's grace that we can be loved. And it's the same for others. And so just as you have received grace, which you don't deserve, show grace to others. Because, you know, this is by grace we receive, by grace we give. This is what it means. And this helps us to negate all hatred anger, bitterness, and so on, when we realize that all of us needs grace. So this is how we look at the entire commandments from the 5th to the 10th as a whole, to love our neighbors as yourself. Three principles are, must remember today, first, interconnectedness, then humility, then compassion. Later I'll test you again. Okay. Now, I want to help us, allow me to have this reflection to close off today's sermon. Many times when we go through these commandments, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, we think that, why God give us all this? Is as if, giving us a straight jacket to live, right? Yeah? All this prohibition, don't do this, don't do that, and so on. It makes us like living very tam, so restricting, so little freedom. And I do not want my sermon to end up like a moralistic, legalistic sermon. This is not about that, okay? I try to give a lot of modern application is to help us to see the relevance. I'm not here to judge anybody, alright? That's not what I'm trying to do. And so I want to end with this reflection. All this prohibition, don't do this, don't do that, and so on, reminds me of one thing. What does it remind you of? It reminds me of Singapore. what we like to call a fine city, right? Fine city. Everything fine one. Don't do this, don't do that. Cannot even chew gum, cannot spit on the floor, don't flush your toilet, don't do this, don't do that. Okay. So in a way, all these prohibitions feels like living in Singapore. And I shared before, if you remember, that I like to watch all these travel videos of people, of tourists and expats and so on who live in Singapore and so on. And I like to hear how foreigners think about Singapore. And as I watch more and more of this, I come to this general impression that yes, Singapore, every single one of them, they like to joke about this. Everybody calls it a fine city, all right? They will say, hey, when you come to Singapore, be careful, and so on and so forth, okay? But as you listen to how they share, you realize that, hey, even though they are aware of Singapore being a fine city, the fines actually never really bothered them. They will say that too. They say that, of course, all these fines are there, but these are also normal. It doesn't bother them because these are also normal social behavior that you're supposed to do anyway, ma. Right, when you go to the toilet, you're supposed to flush, right? You're not supposed to throw rubbish on the floor. What? These are, the fine never bothered them because this is what you're supposed to do anyway, right? But they also share that, but because of all these so-called prohibitions, they talk about how when they come to Singapore, it's a place that makes them feel safe. And I think this is an important concept. A place that they feel safe. A place that they want to live in. The place that, they feel secure. Sometimes they talk about how, they leave your handphone there. They come back, it's still there. Sometimes even a laptop or whatever it is. It's a place that they feel safe. Some of them will marvel at how, Singapore is multicultural and multiracial, because they will talk about in one street you can see a temple, a mosque, and a church on the same street. They'll marvel at this because they know that in many parts of the world, such things are not possible. I guess what I'm trying to say is that, when we think about all these thou shalt not, all these rules, 6 to 10, talking about all this, don't do this, don't do that, I'm not trying to be moralistic or legalistic. I'm trying to let you understand that, yes, all these things may feel very restricting at first. It feels like you have so little freedom. But as I think about, as I compare this with, how people feel about Singapore, I believe actually all these laws are like a part of the process to build a new world. A new world where people feel safe, a new world where people can live in harmony with one another. I want you to really see this vision. Imagine this world, okay? A world where people respect one another, That's the fifth commandment. Okay, a world that people, you know, only bear the best intention to one another. When there are disagreement, they reconcile. When they feel something wrong, they learn to appreciate one another. That's the sixth commandment. A world where people, you know, respect what one another have. They don't compare, they don't, you know, try to keep up with the Joneses. That's the seventh and the tenth commandment. A world that, you know, we respect one another's relationship. That's the eighth about and so on. And the world where we only speak the truth about one another. That's the ninth commandment. What I want to say is that with all these laws, God is trying to help us imagine this world. This world where we are all neighbors to one another. Every single person is connected. We are all neighbors. We are all part of the body. We must all contribute to this human society that we live in. We are all neighbors to one another, regardless of race, regardless of language, regardless of religion. This is the world that the law is supposed to bring us to. I think going through all these laws is especially important today, because of all the social media that we are exposed to. It will amplify voices, it will amplify opinions. It's quite sad, but sometimes only those who are loud mouth, who voice, you know, outlandish things, these are the things that are reported. We don't hear the good stuff. We hear all the stupid things that, you know, some people sprout out from their mouth, and then we all get, whoa, what kind of things? Eating cats and dogs, what's going on? You know, these are things that get reported instead. We get caught up with people's self-promotion. We get caught up with pride. And so, remember the three lessons. The first one, connectedness. Yeah, we are all connected to one another. All that we have, our gifts, our talents, our time, all these are the grace of God. So ask yourself today, are you giving generously to those in need? Are you sharing your resources? Or are you holding back for fear of losing out? No, we are all connected. We owe it to all one another. To what? To love. To give. That's connectedness. The second one? Humility. Right? All that we have is by the grace of God. And so, we don't need to compare with anyone. Instead, we learn to uplift one another. We learn to be respectful. And we don't fall into the trap of, you know, greed, envy, ambition. No, none of this. And when we think like that, we can volunteer, we can donate, we can be more open-handed. We know that all the little that we have, we can share. Never mind. What we receive is what we are supposed to give anyway. And the last one, compassion. When we encounter anger or frustration, whether in real life or online, we practice restraint, we practice forgiveness. Compassion means we are actively seeking out to reconcile, because nobody wants to live with a bad neighbor. Nobody wants to be the, you know, bad neighbor. We align with the call to love even those who hurt us, because we are all neighbors. Together, these guiding principles teach us to live beyond just surface obedience. This is not about the do's and don'ts. This is not about, you know, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. No. But we want to embody this vision that we have, this dream. Hey, let's live in a world that is safe, a world in harmony, a world that is, you know, in perfect relationship with one another and with God. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we come before you. Lord, we ask that, Lord, you help us truly to love our neighbors as ourselves. It's not in our first inclinations. We love ourselves, we see what is good, and then we do it. But Lord, help us to see your vision, to see what you see as good, and to deny ourselves, and to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice to you. And all this we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.